Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. Here on episode 13, we're going to talk about the basics of life insurance. Are you sure or are you insured?
Thanks for joining us again on the Feed the Pig podcast. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about life insurance. And the whole reason I decided we should talk about it this week is that at the place where I work presently, my benefits came up due, and I had to make some decisions about life insurance for myself and my wife. And I was a little confused about several different things. So joining me today is Jordan Amon, the CPA extraordinaire from New Jersey. Jordan, can you help me?
Absolutely, and thanks for the introduction.
I sort of erred on the side when I was trying to make my decisions of how much life insurance to carry, because I have young kids, to go as much as they offered. And I felt like that was the right move because I'm in my late 30s, and I have two kids, and I just can't imagine what would happen for my wife if I wasn't around, or vice versa, And that would only happen over my dead body, by the way. But needless to say, how much does a person need?
It's a very good question, and it really depends on the individual and the situation, and some of the things that you described. Like yourself, I have young children, I have a mortgage, and I have financial obligations that, were something to happen to me and I would stop, becoming income producing, because I wasn't here any longer. Those expenses, the mortgage and caring for my children and college planning, all of those needs would still be there without the income to prepare for them. So a lot of people look at life insurance as income replacement. Other people look at it to pay off debt. So if, God forbid, something happened to me, my wife would be able to pay off the mortgage so that she could remain in the house and put money away for, children's college. So people look at things in different places. Someone without children and without a mortgage, may need significantly less insurance. So it really depends on the individual. And then the other thing is, you have to reduce your current income by an amount that's comfortable, too, to pay the premiums. So if you were to go out there and get, as you said, as much as they offer, there's a current cost associated with that as well, money you're giving up in the present, to protect for that, the possibility of that catastrophic event.
But, and that number goes up the older I get, right?
It can, depending on the policy. It is always cheaper to buy insurance earlier. It's also easier to get qualified earlier. Generally, younger people are healthier and have less, medical issues that may cause higher, higher premiums or not qualifying for insurance.
Wow. All right. You brought up the important part, which is what kind of policy am I looking for? You hear all these terms that get thrown around: whole life, universal life, variable life. And some people talk about the fact that they'll be able to get some of that. If they decide to stop doing it, they'll get some of the money back. Can you just go through, just kind of talk me through what are the different options that are as far as policy types?
Sure. Whole life is generally referred to as permanent life insurance. And what happens is you sign up for a policy at a certain amount, at a certain age, and based on, the mortality rates and the tables that, the life insurance companies have ironed out, they give you a premium, and you pay the same premium for a life at a policy. And the amount of the policy, called the face value, is determined. And because the premiums are lower at age, let's say, 30, as they are at age 70, the monies that you're paying currently, since you're paying the same level premium amount, are built up in the policy to pay insurance when it gets more expensive. Okay. So if you were to cancel the policy, you might have a built-up cash value in there. So you might have paid in $20,000 towards a policy over however many years, and it only cost $14,000 for the insurance over that time. And the extra buildup in cash is supposed to be used at future dates. So that's what the cash value refers to.
Gotcha.
On a whole life policy. As you mentioned, there's other types of policies out there, variable life, which is also generally has a level premium. And what they do is they invest that extra cash value in, usually it's in mutual funds, in what they call a managed sub-account. And, you know, those investment earnings could significantly add up the amount of that cash as well to pay future premiums, to buy additional insurance, or to build up a cash value. The type of policy you didn't mention, though, is generally referred to as the cheapest and is used a lot by people in, you know, in my age group, the 25 to 34-year-old, and that's term insurance. And you buy a policy for a fixed term, meaning, you know, 20 years or 30 years, and at the end of that period of time, you know, you make your premium payments every year, which do, which can increase as you get older, or it could be level premium during that course. But at the end of that term, the 20 or 30 years, you have nothing.
Right.
So should you, God forbid, die in the middle of that period, you'll have insurance for that face amount of $1 million or $500,000. But if you make it outside of that term, you know, you don't get anything.
How old do you have to be to start? Like, what does it make sense for somebody just coming out of school, out of high school, out of college, to sign up for it?
It really depends on the individual situation. It really depends. Do they have anything that they need money for if, God forbid, they weren't here? If someone coming out of college has, you know, no debts and no family, yeah, I'm not sure that they need something at that point. The current income that they'd be giving up might be more valuable than having a policy at that point. So generally, it is cheaper to start earlier, but you should really wait till there's a need for it.
And I know that there are always some, you know, a bunch of different terms they throw around. I basically understand this, but I thought we should talk a little bit about it is, you know, how to choose a beneficiary. Obviously, if I'm not going to be around anymore, the policy is going to go to my estate. And that would be, I guess, to my wife and to my kids. Is there anything else about life insurance that, you know, we should make sure we talk about here today?
Keep in mind that if you're going to, depending on who the beneficiary is, if you're going to designate it to a spouse and children, or you're going to designate it to your spouse and children if you and your spouse were to unfortunately, you know, something would happen to you at the same time, you don't want to leave money to a minor child. You want to make sure you have a guardian or possibly set up a trust so that, you know, if there's insurance and it's substantial, that goes to the child. It's not going to someone, and they would get it at 18 when they may not be, you know, capable of handling having money.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's something to consider as well.
I never thought of that. That's great. Hey, Jordan, you know, thank you so much. I have a hard time going through this stuff. It's complicated for me, and I really appreciate it. Appreciate you making it simple for me.
No problem. I understand life insurance is scary, but it's not as scary as dying without it.
Thanks for joining us here on the Feed the Pig podcast, episode 13. And join us next time for episode 14, where we're going to be taking the financial literacy quiz. That's right. You can take the quiz at home and find out how literate you are financially. Jordan Amon works for Amper, Polizziner, and Mattia, a CPA firm in the New York, New Jersey region. If you're looking for more information on ways to save, you can check out feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Or if you have a question that you want us to talk about, email it to us at feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or feedthepig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and feedthepig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and feedthepig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.